Welcome to Luma Digest, I'm Noura. Okay, so? A humanoid robot is now greeting travellers at San Jose Airport, not tucked away in a demo booth, not on a press tour. Actually working. Answering questions. In 50 languages. The robot's called Jose, which is honestly quite charming. And it's built by Intbot. What's interesting here isn't just that it works, it's where it's working. An airport is about as unforgiving as it gets for a robot. You've got stressed travellers asking vague questions, you've got background noise, you've got people who don't care that you're a technological marvel, they just need to know where Gate B17 is, and Jose is handling it. This is what builders call a social intelligence robot. Not optimised for lifting boxes or welding car parts, optimised for interacting with humans in complex environments. That's a fundamentally different engineering challenge. It requires graceful failure, it requires safety margins you don't need in a warehouse. And it requires the kind of robustness that only happens when a company believes the technology is ready for real scrutiny. The takeaway? We've crossed a threshold. Humanoid robots are moving from controlled environments, factories, warehouses, test labs, to public-facing spaces where they have to work with the general public. That shift doesn't happen unless the engineers are confident it's not going to embarrass them. Worth keeping an eye on. Right. So, moving to something completely different, GPU prices are doing something weird. And by weird, I mean counterintuitive. H100 prices, those are NVIDIA's data center GPUs, have been climbing for months. They're now worth more than they were 3 years ago. That doesn't make sense at first glance. Cheaper models exist, newer chips are available, hardware depreciates. Except, it turns out the hardware isn't depreciating because the software got better. Here's what happened. Reasoning models and inference software have gotten dramatically better at squeezing performance out of older silicon. A 2022-era GPU, properly optimized, can now do things it couldn't do 2 years ago. Not because the chip changed, because the software around it improved. So suddenly, a GPU you thought was on the way out is more valuable than the depreciation curve suggested. The rental market is reflecting that. Demand is surging. For anyone building with AI infrastructure, this changes the unit economics. If you bought H100s expecting them to lose value year over year, surprise, they're appreciating. If you're planning capacity for the next 3 years, the market is telling you these chips have staying power. But here's the other side of that coin. If you're not running your own data center, if you're building AI applications and just need access to inference, the cost curve has gone the opposite direction. There's a piece this week comparing Tesla's self-driving computer to something called Nexa API. Tesla spent, let's be honest, billions building custom silicon for object detection and image analysis. Their FSD chip costs $1,500 per vehicle. Nexa API does image inference for 0.3 cents per call. 0.3 cents, that's not a typo. $0.003 per image. Same neural networks, same capability, just via API. The hardware problem disappears entirely. So what does that mean practically? If you're a startup building something that needs computer vision, you don't need to buy GPUs, you don't need to negotiate rental contracts, you don't need to worry about depreciation or optimization or inference servers. You just call the API. The entire capital expense turns into a variable cost that scales with your usage. The piece includes production code examples in Python and JavaScript. It's genuinely practical. If you're building anything that involves image analysis or object detection, worth a read. Link in the show notes. The split is clear now. If you're building AI infrastructure at scale, owning hardware still makes sense, but if you're building applications on top of that infrastructure, the API layer just removed the barrier. Now, this next one is important if you use GitHub. GitHub is automatically enrolling users' private repositories into Copilot training, unless you opt out, by April 24th. Let me say that again. Your private repos, the code you haven't made public, will be used to train GitHub's AI models unless you explicitly opt out before April 24th. This has, understandably, caused some noise in the developer community. The issue isn't whether the training improves Copilot, the issue is consent. Private repositories are private for a reason. Clients expect confidentiality. Employers expect proprietary code to stay proprietary. The opt-out is in your GitHub settings under Copilot. If you're working with sensitive code bases, client projects, anything under NDA, you probably want to check that before the deadline. What I keep coming back to is this. The default shouldn't be opt-in for private repositories. That's not how consent works. If GitHub wants training data, ask. Don't assume silence is agreement. Worth having a conversation with your team about where you stand on this. Right. Let me lighten things up a bit. There's a new communication standard for mobile robot fleets that, Honestly, solves a problem I didn't realize was this messy. It's called VDA 5050. Version 3 just came out. And what it does is let robots from different manufacturers talk to each other under a single control system. Why does that matter? Because up until now, if you wanted to run a mixed fleet of robots, say you've got warehouse bots from three different companies, you needed three separate control systems, three dashboards, three APIs, three points of failure. VDA 5050 V3 changes that. One control system, mixed fleet, different manufacturers. It also introduces zone-based autonomy, which means higher autonomy robots can make decisions within defined zones without constant check-ins. This is one of those infrastructure standards that doesn't make headlines but quietly unlocks scale. If you're deploying robots in logistics or warehousing, this just made your life simpler. And finally, something a bit more niche but genuinely interesting if you're working with drones or autonomous systems. Satellite connectivity is emerging as critical infrastructure for beyond visual line of sight operations. BVLOS. That's drones flying routes where the operator can't see them. The issue is coverage. Terrestrial networks, 4G, 5G, don't reach remote areas. If you're flying over farmland or coastline or mountains, you lose the connection. That's a problem if you need reliable command and telemetry. Satellite links can fill that gap. The testing shows they're reliable enough for real operations if you configure them properly. That opens up use cases that weren't practical before. Agricultural monitoring, coastal surveying, emergency response in remote areas. The bottleneck for autonomous systems at scale has always been connectivity. This is one of the pieces falling into place. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. We're watching infrastructure mature, robots in public spaces, GPU markets adjusting to better software, API layers removing hardware barriers, communication standards enabling mixed fleets, satellite connectivity for autonomous operations. These aren't flashy announcements, they're the plumbing. But the plumbing is what lets everything else work. Worth thinking about where your own infrastructure assumptions need updating. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.